swinging a high fly ball to right. It is out of here. Yastrzemski does it again, and the Giants lead 4-0.
Now, more Drive Time Sports on KOAM, 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
We're going to talk Major League Baseball here today on Drive Time Sports. We have to. We got to see the ALCS. It is off and rolling. How about that performance from the Seattle Mariners? I think it's rather incredible that they will carry a 1-0 lead into Game 2. We'll talk about that. We'll also get set for Game 1 of the NLCS. Tonight, the Dodgers will take on the Milwaukee Brewers. And while the Brewers had a 5-game set, not quite as extraneous as it was for the Seattle Mariners, who had to go a 15-inning marathon to get to the ALCS. We'll talk about all that and more. Joining us right now over the phone, we have Steve Bordstein, great friend of mine, great friend of the show. Steve, it's always a pleasure to get you on, as we are now down to the final four teams in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, not as strenuous between Chicago and Milwaukee in the NL when your road trip consisted of 92 miles. So, but congratulations to the Brewers and a good series for them. The Cubs are a team that I think we're going to be keeping an eye on over the next couple of years. I think the bigger story as far as the teams that are not playing this week is going to be what happens to Philadelphia, because they are going to get blown up with free agency this off season.
There's two teams in the National League that are headed for some dark times, and one of them is the Chicago Cubs, and I'll tell you why. Because the rickets are cheap, and all they look to do is catch lightning in a bottle year after year. They could have fixed that starting rotation. They elected not to. Jesus Luzardo was there for the taking at the deadline if they wanted him. Instead, they let Philly go all in, and I think you bring up a fantastic point. The future is very unknown for this Philadelphia Phillies team. And I thought going into the postseason, this is the best team. This is the most put together team. I didn't have questions about their bullpen. I didn't have questions about the starting rotation. I didn't have any questions regarding the offensive unit. But the problem for Philly, it wasn't Orion Kerkring. It wasn't the bullpen. It wasn't the starting rotation. It was the big three at the front of the lineup, who were just dreadful during that Dodger series, in Trey Turner, Kyle Schwarber, and Bryce Harper. That's where the problem lied for Philly in the postseason. And I think it's a reminder, Steve, that that can literally happen to any team at any given time in the month of October.
Absolutely. I mean, that's what October is. And I always go on the appearance thing. When the losing player is standing in front of their locker and they're talking to the press, whose hat are they wearing? Are they wearing a hat? If they're not, it means they're not going to be with that team the next season. And if you look at Trey Turner, and if you look at Kyle Schwarber, neither of them were wearing a hat in front of their locker in that post-game interview. So, yeah, it's going to be some dark days going forward for Philadelphia. And a lot, but his time is limited. Same with Trey Turner. His time is limited. So it's going to be interesting to see what that team, and in particular the Cubs, like you mentioned, are going to do going.
If we're talking about the National League, I think we have to go back over and talk about the American League. There are some more news and notes to touch on in the NL, but let's move over to the AL, because before we talk about the Mariners and what should be a fantastic series with the Blue Jays, the one team that is notably absent from the ALCS this year, it's the defending AL champion in the New York Yankees, who really got it handed to him by the Toronto Blue Jays. Now, I was on record last week of saying if New York can get this to Game 5, they will win this series based off of the fact that Toronto has never been in a situation like this before. The Blue Jays made sure that did not happen. And of course, anytime the Yankees fall short of the ultimate goal, which is championship or bust, people want to talk about a change in leadership within the clubhouse. I'm totally against it, Steve, and I'm curious as to what your thoughts are.
Now, this isn't an Aaron Boone thing. This was, they got beat by a better team that got hot in the postseason. So that's not, that talk is irrelevant to me. What's going to be interesting next offseason is the MVP year, and I'll call it right now. It'll be an MVP year for Aaron Judge in 2026. Why? Because he's a free agent at the end of the year, and that is going to be one expensive contract to write up for Aaron Judge in 2026. If they have any intentions of keeping him. There's only four teams in Major League Baseball that can sign a talent like him. You're looking at the Yankees, you're looking at the Red Sox, maybe you're looking at the Astros, maybe you're looking at the Dodgers or Giants, but they're the only ones that could sign a guy like Aaron Judge. And when he hits, when he hits 60 home runs next year for the Yankees, and then they have to sit down and have a conversation with him about a long-term contract, that is going to be one giant cluster in New York City.
What about the other team, the Detroit Tigers? They were the best team in baseball for the majority of the season. They went on a dismal downward spiral right at the end of the year. I mean, it was just awful. They damn near don't even make the playoffs. And then they battle back. They pick up a win over the Guardians, and then they battle to a Game 5 with the Mariners, and it was the most thrilling game of the postseason up to this point. When you fall in a 15-inning marathon for your season to come to a close, it's got to be heartbreaking, especially for a team that does have the AL Cy Young and Tarek Skubal.
I remember the beginning of the season talking about the Dodgers-Tigers series back in April, and what a series that was, you know, 6 months ago, and saying, okay, that's the team to beat. So they went through their ups and downs, and look, as a Dodger fan, we can certainly talk a lot about the ups and downs of the season. The Tigers are going to be okay, I think, this offseason. I think they've got some decisions to make as far as who to put alongside Skubal, because he can't do it by himself. It's like Paul Skeens in Pittsburgh. He can't do it by himself. You've got to put some pieces around him to make him even more important to that rotation and to that organization. I like the way Detroit's going. I think they're going in a positive direction. I hope they continue that, and I hope they'll be willing to spend the money going forward.
Steve Bordstein again joining us right now as we talk Major League Baseball. Steve, lastly, before we talk about tonight's Game 1 of the NLCS, your thoughts on the San Diego Padres? They're looking for another new voice inside that clubhouse as Mike Shield has announced his retirement. He is basically saying there's too much of a toll physically on him to continue moving forward. The Padres can't seem to put the right person in that role, and maybe it's quite simple. They don't need a manager. They need a ringmaster, because you know, the personalities are quite clownish within that organization.
Well, and that just, we've been talking about that for years. Before it was Shields, you know, there were other managers who expressed discontent, for lack of a better term, about what it was like being a part of that San Diego clubhouse. So it's unfortunate, because Shields, I thought, was the right guy. I mean, I really thought he was the guy to bring that team out of those doldrums and into the next decade. I keep hearing rumors of guys wanting to, your former players now wanting to get into managerial roles. I've heard rumors that Albert Pujols was under consideration for perhaps the Angels job, now with the announcement that Ron Washington was going to be stepping aside. Maybe a guy like that comes forward for San Diego. But look, I mean, the problems are not in the front office. The problems are in that locker room. The problems are in the clubhouse with guys like Machado and guys like Tatis. And look, they're going to have some contract issues coming up going forward. Cronenworth is going to be eligible for free agency at the end of next season. They've got a lot of things going forward. So, look, it's a cautionary tale. Whenever you take a job trying to manage $100 million earning guys, it's a cautionary tale of that it doesn't always work out, because they have their own egos.
Let's move over and talk about Game 1 of the NLCS tonight. The Dodgers will throw Blake Snell out on the mound, and Snell has been borderline incredible for this team. It hasn't always resulted in wins, and I think that is the story when you take a look at the Dodgers, right? At times, I'm going to go back and make a reference that we just made about the Philadelphia Phillies a moment ago. We have seen Yoshi Yamamoto come out and pitch 8 2/3 of stellar baseball and not get a win. I think the same could be said for Blake Snell. He's had a couple of outings that have just been outstanding. He'll get the ball in Game 1. Should not be a huge surprise for the Dodgers, even though it was Shohei Ohtani's turn. He would have been the Game 5 starter against Philly. Dave Roberts elects to go Blake Snell Game 1. And Steve, I don't know about you, but I have absolutely no problem with his call. In fact, I think it's the right direction to move.
I think that Snell is the right guy for Game 1. You want him in that situation. A little surprised with the decision that Yamamoto is going to go Game 2, although I'm assuming the reason for that is that you want Ohtani available for a Game 3 at home when they go back to Los Angeles for Game 3 of that series. That being said, you and I talked at the beginning of this about, you know, Philadelphia being the most complete team. This is no disrespect to Milwaukee, because they are the number one seed in the National League. But when the Milwaukee Brewers swept all six games against the Dodgers back in July. July was the worst month of the season for Dodger baseball. They were under 500 team in the month of July, and they were missing four key players who have all been factors in the postseason so far. Blake Snell, Max Muncy, Kike Hernandez, and Roky Sasaki. Those four players were not there for the Dodgers in that month of July. Mookie Betts was going through a prolonged slump. Shohei Ohtani was just finally maybe getting on the mound for an inning or two, three innings here. So it was a completely different Dodger organization than the one that they're facing this week. That being said, I think this is a different Dodger team than they were back in July. This is a good Milwaukee ball club, but this is still the smallest payroll in all of Major League Baseball, going up against the Goliath that is the Dodgers. And I think that's going to be where you're going to see the difference, I think, these next few days.
I always point to the numbers throughout the regular season and say, listen, this is why sabermetrics has its faults in Major League Baseball, because you can't account for the mental aspect of games once we get into the month of October. Let's go back and look at Orion Kerkring. He panicked in the biggest moment of the season for the Philadelphia Phillies, and that's why the Dodgers win that series in four games. You can't account for that analytically, right? You can't account for the way a human's going to react to these moments. However, I can't really use that logic right now with Milwaukee Brewers, because when you take a look at the numbers throughout the postseason, they have been outstanding. Jackson Churio hit .389 with six RBIs in that series over the Chicago Cubs. I think you take a look at the pitching for the Brewers during this series, Chad Patrick was outstanding as well. He goes 4 2/3 shutout innings, never allowed a single run. And Jacob Mizorowski has been outstanding for the Brewers as well. And we're kind of seeing this kid mature a little bit. Fact of the matter is, Milwaukee has all the ingredients to pull this off. The question is, can these young players like a Jackson Churio come through in some of the biggest moments? And I think one of the things that helps Milwaukee in this series, Steve, is the fact that they have home field. There's going to be a comfort level for them, at least for the first two games of this series, which leads me to believe that Milwaukee has to sweep these first two games.
Milwaukee has to win both of the first two games at home. It puts the Dodgers behind the eight ball. It gives the Dodgers no chance of winning the series in Los Angeles. I think the other metric here is going to be those first few innings. Milwaukee's done very well getting out to early leads in games, but so have the Dodgers. They've also been able to get on the board early. They did that in a couple of games against Milwaukee, but then what happened? The bullpen came along and screwed things up. That's not the case right now. At least it doesn't appear to be the case right now for the LA Dodgers. Those first few innings of tonight's game one are going to be crucial. Who gets the early lead? Who has to go to the bullpen first? Who blanks? And if it's the Dodgers, then it's going to be a longer series, probably, because now you're messing with the confidence of a Blake Snell. Now you're having to go to that bullpen early, which, let's be honest, is still a bit shaky. Even though we found our closer in Sasaki, it's the middle part of that bullpen that still might be a little flimsy. So I think it's going to be key tonight to see who gets out front early, who starts making plays early, who gets that early advantage. I think it's going to be the Dodgers. I think they're going to get that rotation. I think they're going to get that lineup going early. I think Ohtani gets out of his slump that he ran into in arguably the best pitching rotation in the National League in Philadelphia. And if that's the case, I think the Dodgers are going to get out early. I think they'll win game one, and that'll set the tone, I think, for the rest of this series.
I almost feel like the Dodgers have to win game one, and I'll tell you why. I think one of the overlooked aspects in the month of October when you're playing playoff baseball, especially in a seven-game set that's not the World Series, sometimes you have to concede games to set up the rest of the series. We saw the Dodgers do this multiple times last year with the lack of depth that they had in their rotation. And when I look at the Milwaukee Brewers, knowing that Freddy Peralta is going to go game two, you can reset everything if you're Milwaukee in game two. You don't have that luxury in game one based off of the fact that you had a long, drawn-out five-game set with Cubs where you had to empty the clip. So in my mind, the Dodgers almost have to win game one, right? Because Milwaukee will have the opportunity to reset everything. Their ace is Freddy Peralta. He's been great this season. He's going to get the ball in game two. We really don't know what Milwaukee is going to do in game one, but it does give them the opportunity to reset for game two. That's why this game, I think, is more important to the Dodgers than it is the Brewers.
I agree. No, I think that's a great point, especially that's, and I think that's going to be where you and I talked about this. Like, I want Ohtani not on the mound these first two games. I kind of want him to get settled in to where he's just a hitter for the first couple of games of the series. That way he's not thinking about the whole pitching and hitting thing in the same game. I want him to just concentrate on that one thing, because I think, to your point, whoever's going to get out early is going to set the tone for this. And if the Dodgers can steal game one, it's almost like we talked about, you mentioned the giveaway game. Last year, in that game against the Mets, that the Dodgers threw the entire bullpen out there and lost it 11-5, I believe it was. That was a throwaway game.
Yep.
They knew they had a bridge to get to games for that series. I think that's going to be the case here tonight. So I think it's not necessarily the worst loss in the world for game one if the Brewers do lose game one. But if they lose game two, that series isn't coming back to Milwaukee.
Sure seems that way. I mean, I think that we are on a collision course right now. I think the two best teams left, if we have to look at the perspective, you know, leagues, I do believe it is Seattle and LA. I do believe those are the two best teams left in the playoff chase. And I'm curious as to your thoughts as to, if we look at it logically, who the World Series should be.
Dodgers in Seattle. I mean, I would agree with that. And look, if you want to talk about two of the best stories in baseball, look, you got the two best home run hitters in the sport right now. I mean, no offense to Schwarber or Judge, but you know, no one's going to be seeing them the next few months. So you got the two best home run hitters in all of Major League Baseball in Cal Raleigh and Shohei Ohtani. You've got electrifying stories. You've got the Mariners trying to do something they've never done before. The Dodgers trying to win back-to-back, the first team to do that in more than a quarter century. So I think it'd be a fascinating World Series if it is the Dodgers and Mariners. Even if it's the Blue Jays, then it's a fun story for them. It's a fun story because, you know, that's kind of been always in the Yankees and Red Sox shadow for the last decade now. And here they are. They're finally on the biggest stage.
All right, Steve, let's end with this. The Dodgers get to the World Series if... And the Brewers get to the World Series if. I'll let you answer those two questions.
If it all comes, in my mind, either way, if Shohei Ohtani's slump continues, the Brewers are going to the World Series. If he can't get out of his own way at the plate, and he can't, and he goes, what, 1-for-18, I think it was, in the National League Divisional Series, if that slump continues, they're not going to the World Series. If he breaks out of his slump, Dodgers are going to the World Series.
How about in the American League?
I think Seattle is just now on that cruise control thing. We'll find out more tonight in that game too. But if they can get past game two tonight and go home with a 2-0 lead, that series is over. I think Seattle is just built differently than Toronto is. So I think for Seattle, if they can get through game two tonight, then I think they'll be fine. If they don't, then, you know, it'll be a crapshoot in games 3, 4, and 5. But at least Seattle's got a chance to win it now at home, getting that first game under their belt. But I can't express how amazing it was to see that team go 15 innings, travel cross country, and win game one on the road in Toronto last night.
That
was something I never thought I'd see.
No. And for me, it's really simple. I thought at the beginning of the year that Seattle had the best rotation in the American League front to back. And if they continue to play as if they are the best rotation front to back in the American League, they will win that series. I think it's that simple. On the Dodgers front, I'm going to differ with you a little bit. And I think this is where I go with it. If Roky Sasaki continues his outstanding run in the bullpen, his outstanding run as a closer, the Dodgers will win this series. On the flip side, I take a look at Milwaukee, and I'm going to go back to this young core, the ideal of a Sal Frelick and a Jackson Churio. If these young guys continue to produce, hitting 380 and above, they'll win this series. But the question is, can the youngsters in Milwaukee live up to the moment? You're playing the World Series champions now, and even though you have home field advantage, at some point you're going to have to go on the road and play three games at Dodger Stadium, regardless of what happens in games one and two, right? So can the young bucks for Milwaukee rise above the moment? And I think for the Dodgers, it's simple. Do they have their closer in Roky Sasaki? If they do, they're fine, and I think they win the World Series. They become the first team to repeat in 25 years. I think it's that simple.
What's your prediction?
Dodgers in six.
All right. You and I are in the same boat. I'm going Dodgers in five. I think this is I was as scared as I was about Philadelphia. I'm not as scared about Milwaukee. I don't know why that is, and maybe I'll be proven wrong this week, but I'm not as scared of Milwaukee as I was of Philadelphia, and I saw what they did against Philadelphia, and I don't think it's going to be that. I don't think it's going to be that dramatic. I really don't. I think the Dodgers are just on a different playing field right now. This is not the same team we saw in July, and I think the class now comes full bore here. So I'm going to go Dodgers in 5, and I'm going to say Mariners in 6.
I was going to say Mariners in 6 as well. I think we have an even series between the AL and NL, and that's going to shape out for an excellent World Series. Steve Bordstein taking out the time to join us. Steve, it's always a pleasure. Before I let you go, where can we find more of you?
You can find my work on covering local sports, New Mexico sports, at Tri-City Record, NM. That's Tri-City Record, New Mexico, all one word. And you can check that out on the web at TriCityRecordNM.com.
Steve, it's always a pleasure. Enjoy Game 1 tonight. Can't wait to talk again real soon.
Go Blue.
And with that, we are out of time on this edition of Drive Time Sports. Always fun to be along with you on the afternoon drive. We'll do it again tomorrow. It'll be Football Tuesday. Until then, be safe. I am out.